Today, I'd like to share with you a topic that I've entitled The Battle for the Brain. This is for boys and girls and young people and moms and dads. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer before we begin. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we now turn our attention to your holy word, guide our minds. We want that you be the victor in the battle for our brain, because we ask in Jesus' name, amen. During the first Gulf War with Iraq, the object of the Allies was to knock out the control center for Saddam Hussein's army. They succeeded in doing it in one night. The devil is also after our control center. The control center of your brain is what? The frontal lobe, yes. That, science tells us, is the control center of our entire being. That's the seat of morality, spirituality, and the will. And whatever affects our frontal lobe affects our entire being, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And the devil, of course, he knows that. And so his object is to knock out the frontal lobe, the control center. Today, boys and girls, young people, I'm going to share with you four blows to the brain. This is the devil's tactics to knock out your frontal lobe. But before we begin, let me show you why this topic is so important. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians 6, verse 12. We've been studying from this week. This was our morning devotion. Every morning we were studying at the Christian armor. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Good to see our children with their Bibles up here. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So we are in a fight. And the devil wants to knock us out. Now, we're not fighting with fists and guns. If you're there in Ephesians, back up a little bit to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. And if you're taking notes today, those of you who have something to take notes on, then write down the verse. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations." Imaginations take place in the brain, the mind. "Casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity," how many? "Every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's when God controls your brain. There is another text that you can read with me. It's in Romans 12, verse 2. We have it on the screen. The Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world." Don't be like the world around you, but be you transformed by the renewing of what? Of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your thoughts, children, your thoughts create your words and actions. Your words and actions, they make up your habits. Your habits make up what? Your character, and it is your character that determines your destiny both in this life and in the next life. So our thoughts are important. If you want to be a winner in the battle, then it starts in the mind. That's why we're told in Acts of the Apostles, those who would not fall a prey to Satan's devices must guard well the avenues of the soul. They must avoid reading, seeing, or hearing that which will suggest impure thoughts. So you have to guard your mind. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." And when it talks about the heart, what's that? The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So where's the heart here? This is the mind. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The New International Version says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The Common English Bible says, more than anything you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it. When you came here today, you had to pass the guards. We must guard our minds. That's why it says we have to guard well the avenues of the soul. Now tell me, what are the avenues of the soul? Every fortress has some gates, some entrances. And there are five avenues to the soul. These are the gates of the soul. First is sight. Then you have sound. Then you have smell. Then you have taste. And then you have touch. Five avenues to the soul. And what's interesting, boys and girls, of those five, four of them are right next to your brain. Your sight, your smell, your hearing, and your taste, right beside your brain. Of those five ones, which do you think is the main door to your mind? It is the eyes, unless you're blind. If you're blind, then you have another main entrance. But if you have sight, then that's the main entrance. And the devil has launched a relentless attack on the main door to the soul, the eyes. He did it all the way back in the beginning, Genesis 3, verse 6. Boys and girls, notice, the Bible says, and when the woman, that was Eve, when the woman what? When she saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Do you see how sin came? It started where? Main entrance, sight. First sight, then desire. You see something, you say, oh, I want that. Then after desire comes, you take it. And then the indulgence, sin. That's how almost all sin comes to every soul. And that is why we are told to guard well the avenues of the soul. What's the main door to your soul? Your eyes. Now I'm going to come back now to the four blows to the brain. The devil has a relentless attack on the main entrance. Four blows to the brain. This is like if you get in a boxing match. You shouldn't box, but the devil, he wants to knock out your frontal lobe. And that's why it says those who would not fall a prey to Satan's devices must guard well the avenues of the soul. They must avoid reading, seeing, or hearing that which will suggest impure thoughts. Four blows to the brain. Do you have a notepad? Take out a piece of paper and mark down these four blows. Any one of these is a knockout to your frontal lobe. You ready for knockout number one? It is, take a deep breath, this might hurt. It is the television. Not talking about Hope Channel, please, you understand. We're talking about Hollywood with its rapid scene. Every second or 2 seconds, they're changing the picture. And within 30 to 90 seconds of watching Hollywood, your frontal lobe turns off. You go from beta wave, where your brain is very active, to alpha wave, where you're sort of zoned out. And somebody can throw a ball right over the television, and you don't see it because your frontal lobe has turned off. And that increases, listen, you older folks, that increases your risk of Alzheimer's later in life, which we don't want. Here's what Dr. Amir Sowas says. Watch less television because your brain goes into neutral. When your brain goes into neutral, when your frontal lobe is deactivated, That has an effect upon your entire being. Here's a statement from Anton LaVey. You know who Anton LaVey is? Was? He was the author of the Satanic Bible. He wrote the Satanic Bible. He said, television is the major mainstream infiltration for the new satanic religion. That's why you really don't want to watch Hollywood. Too much Satanism. The TV set or satanic family altar has grown more elaborate since the early 50s, from the tiny fuzzy screen to huge entertainment centers covering entire walls and several TV monitors. This author of the Satanic Bible calls the television set the what? The Satanic Family Altar. I hope you don't have one. What started as an innocent respite from everyday life has become in itself a replacement for real life for millions, a major religion of the masses, the television. Now, television, since it turns off your frontal lobe, what does it do to your body? Every hour, watch this, every hour in front of the television, boys and girls, brings with it an 11% greater risk of premature death from all causes and an 18% greater risk of dying from cardiovascular disease, a new study finds. And the reason for that, anything that turns off your frontal lobe is not good for your body because every function of your body is controlled by the frontal lobe. And when your frontal lobe is turned off, that's not good. Here is the study. Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, the largest health insurance agency in America. And you notice it says, it's kind of small there, watching TV shortens lifespan, study says, shows. Researchers found a strong connection between TV hours and death from cardiovascular disease. That link was found not just among the overweight and obese, but among people who had a healthy weight and exercised. People who watch more than 4 hours a day. Do you know how much most people watch? 5 hours a day. That's the average. People who watch more than 4 hours a day showed an 80% greater risk of death from cardiovascular disease and a 46% higher risk of all causes of death compared to those who watch less than 2 hours a day. So we want to recommend, boys and girls, watch less television, better for your brain. Here's what NPR News says. Watching TV could shorten your life. Now, for you boys and girls here, we got some 14-year-olds. Researchers at Columbia's College of Physicians and Surgeons concluded in 2007, for example, that 14-year-olds who watched 1 or more hours of television daily were at an elevated risk for poor homework completion, negative attitudes towards school, poor grades, and long-term academic failure. You want to fail school? No. But every hour you spend watching TV increases. We're not talking about Hope Channel. We're talking about Hollywood here. Don't misunderstand me. Now, what we recommend is that you replace the television, parents, with family fun time. In our home, when our children were small, in the evening, instead of watching television, we took our children outside and we played games together, and the children loved it. Do you like to play with your parents? Look at them nodding their heads. Parents, do you have time to play with your children? Take time to play with your children. Turn off the television and spend some time with your children. Here's a picture of Mom and Dad with their children. I know our children are both in their 20s, but they're still living with us. Never had a television in our home. How long have we been married, dear? 27 years? Family fun time. Do something fun with your children, and they won't even miss the TV. Those who would not fall a prey to Satan's devices must guard well the avenues of the soul. We're talking about what we see here. Knockout number one was television. The Bible says, more than any, read with me. Can you read this, boys and girls? Read with me. More than anything you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it. Now we looked at number one. You ready for number two? This is another knockout right to the eye. The TV is right to the eye. This is right to the eye. I hate to even bring this up in church, but it's a problem even for church members. And that's pornography. This is Dr. Zillman. The negative effects of pornography have been more consistently proven than the links between smoking and lung cancer. Not good for you. Dr. Hilton said brain shrinkage. You want to shrink your brain? No. Brain shrinkage has been seen in drug addiction, such as cocaine and methamphetamine, but also in natural addiction, such as obesity, and more recently, sexual addiction. Studies are currently underway to examine shrinkage, specifically in pornography addiction. Do you know how many young people view pornography? 90% of 8 to 16-year-olds today view pornography on the internet. That's disgusting. Is it having an effect upon our brain? What about the male brain? Because what goes along with pornography is those vicious habits, those vices, masturbation and so forth. How does that affect the brain? Here is from CBS News, gender gap, boys lagging. At graduation ceremonies last June at Hanover High School in Massachusetts, it was the 9th year in a row that a girl was at the podium as school valedictorian, top of the school, 9th year in a row. Girls also took home nearly all the honors, including the science prize, said the principal. So who's getting ahead here, the boys or the girls? It's the girls. The school's advancement placement classes, which admit only the most qualified students, are often 70% to 80% girls. This includes calculus. And in AP biology, there was not a single boy. Did you know that today, last year, more than 70% of all valedictorians in America, in both high school and college, were women? Where are the men? On the internet, wasting their mental energies in their vices. Girls so outperform boys in school right now, one statistician said. He took it out to its absurd endpoint and said, at the current trend, the last man to get his bachelor's degree will do so in 2068. After that, there'll be no more men that have enough brains to get a bachelor's degree. That's a shame, boys. Boy, listen to me, boys. Stay away from those pornographic pictures and from those personal vices that go along with it. If you want to save your brain, that was knockout number two. What is our text? Read with me all together. More than anything you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it. When we looked at number one, we're guarding the avenues of the soul. What was number one? The television. Number two was pornography with its associated vices. Now number three, boys, listen now. This is for you, boys. Number three, knockout to the eye. Oh, computer games stunt teen brains. That's the Guardian News. Here's what it said. Computer games are creating a dumbed-down generation of children far more disposed to violence than their parents, according to a controversial new study. Now, I'm not going to ask you boys to raise your hands, but do you play computer games, video games? Not good for your brain. The tendency to lose control is not due to children absorbing the aggression involved in the computer game itself, as previous researchers have suggested, but rather to the damage done by stunting the developing mind. So boys, when you play those games, it's exciting, yeah, but it isn't helping your brain. It's making your brain not able to develop. And that's why the girls are getting ahead in school. Because the boys, well, they're wasting their energy and their vices and they're playing computer games. Most worrying of all, this is the news, most worrying of all was what part of the brain? The frontal lobe, which continues to develop in humans until the age of 20. And more recent research tells us it's the age of 30. You children, you got a long ways to go before your frontal lobe is fully developed. 30 also has an important role to play in keeping an individual's behavior in check. The students who played computer games were what? Halting the process of brain development. Do you want to do that? No. So turn off the computer game. Do something that's more beneficial for the brain. Those who would not fall a prey to Satan's devices must guard well the avenues of the soul. They must avoid reading, seeing. We talked about seeing. What was number one? Television. Knockout to the brain. Number two, pornography. Knockout to the brain. Number three, computer games. Knockout to the frontal lobe. But you also notice it talks about, well, let me back up. Let's read our theme text here. Everybody, all together, more than anything you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Now, we talked about seeing. But you notice it also talks about hearing, or hearing that which will suggest impure thoughts. And so we're ready for number four, knockout number four. This is not to the eye. The first three were to the eye. The fourth knockout is to the ear. And that is that. Rock and roll. Does that affect the brain? This is in a study that was done. The summer of 1993, 2,750 young people between the ages of 12, we got 12-year-olds here, and 26 from all 50 states and from Canada, France, Mexico, New Zealand, and the Netherlands, and Russia were asked the question. Here's the question. Do you believe rock music can be addictive? What was the answer? 99.3 said yes. These are the 12 to 26-year-olds. Oh, yeah, it's addicting. If you don't believe that, try quitting. You'll find out it isn't easy. Amazing Discoveries back in 2008 was documenting two scientists, Schreckenberg and Bird's research, not only linked rock-like music to hippocampal damage. Do you know what the hippocampus is? Anybody know what the hippocampus is? That's the part of your brain that has to do with memory. Being able to remember the answer when you're taking the test. So when you're listening to the music that has those rock and roll rhythms, it damages the hippocampus, the part of your brain that has to do with memory. But that's not all. They also found that it caused what? Frontal lobe shrinkage. You shrink your frontal lobe. Last month, some of you may remember last month, we were talking about the benefits of classical music. And I had several people ask me afterward, what is classical music? You know, music, real music, has three parts: melody, harmony, and rhythm. Classical music, in its strictest definition, is music that was written during the classical time period, the time of Bach and Beethoven and Handel. But in its broader sense, classical music is music where the beat you don't notice. In classical music, the rhythm, the beat, is there, but you don't hear it. So if the music you're listening to, you can't hear the beat, that's probably classical music. But on the other hand, in pop music, rock music, the rhythm, the beat is a distinct part of the music. You can't help but notice it, the rhythm. It's the main part. So that's the difference. With that understanding, notice what does pop music, rock music do to the memory? What does it do to the frontal lobe, boys and girls? It shrinks the frontal lobe. You don't want to do that. Now, this has been documented. Here's a study done by a 16-year-old with mice. 16-year-old David Merrill thought that the loud sounds of hard rock music must have a bad effect on its devoted fans, and he came up with a way to test the damage. Merrill got 72 mice. How many? 72 mice, divided them into three groups. One to test a mouse's response to hard rock, another to the music of Mozart, that's classical music, and a control group that wouldn't listen to any music at all, rock or classical. The young visionary got all the mice accustomed to living in aquariums in his basement, then started playing music 10 hours a day. That's quite common for a teenager to listen to his music 10 hours a day. So the mice are doing that. Merrill put each mouse through a maze three times a week that originally had taken the mice an average of 10 minutes to complete. At the end of the maze was their lunch. Took them 10 minutes to find their way through to the food. Over time, the 24 control group mice managed to cut about 5 minutes from their maze completion time. So first it was 10 minutes, now they've cut off 5 minutes. These are the mice that don't listen to any music. How long is it taking them to find the food now? 5 minutes. The Mozart listening mice cut their time back 8.5 minutes. So they started at 10 minutes. They cut off 8.5 minutes. How long was it taking them? 1.5 minutes to get through the maze to the food. That's a smart mouse. 1.5 minutes. The hard rock mice added 20 minutes to their time, making their average maze running time 300% more than their original average. Need we say more? Well, maybe we do. Merrill told the Associated Press that he'd attempted the experiment the year before, allowing mice in the different groups to live together. I had to cut my project short because all the hard rock mice killed each other. Merrill said, none of the classical mice did that. These are just dumb mice. What's the effect upon humans? Notice, what did the hard rock mice do? It started at 10 minutes. Then they added 20 more minutes. How much is that? 30 minutes. You want to be smart? Then turn off your rock and roll and listen to some classical, because the Beethoven or the Mozart mice, they cut their time back 8.5 minutes. That's the benefit of good music upon your memory, boys and girls. So we recommend don't listen to rock and roll. I know sometimes it's even creeping into church. Here's what the Beatles said a long time ago. Our music is capable of causing emotional instability, disorganized behavior, rebellion, and even revolution. Beatle music? Wow. Paul Cantor of the Jefferson Starship classic rock band said, our music is intended to broaden the generation gap, to alienate children from their parents. Tell me, parents, is that what you want? Do you want the music your children are listening to alienate them from you? Well, then ask yourself, what kind of music am I playing to my children in the car as I drive around Nairobi? Music that will encourage rebellion or discourage it? Here's what Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones band said. There is no such thing as a secure, family-oriented rock and roll song. No such thing. The rhythm creates rebellion. Now we're bringing it into church. Here's what a 15-year-old said. Listen, 15-year-olds. A 15-year-old said this: I was following the Lord wholeheartedly until we switched churches, and I was invited to the new youth group. I had a conviction against rock music, but as I was surrounded by it, my beliefs were corrupted. This music eventually led to what? Rebellion and moral failures. The Lord has gained victory in my life now, but the music still brings on rebellion if I listen to it. This is Christian rock music. Please, 15-year-old, this is a plea that he's making to his local church. Please, get rid of this music and put melodious harmonic music. I would agree with that 15-year-old. I don't know about you parents here. Bob Larson said, the steady pounding can cause the mind to go into a state of daydreaming in which it loses touch with reality. When control of the mind is weakened or lost, evil influences can often take possession. That's why sometimes our young people become demon-possessed. When that happens, I say, what kind of music are they listening to? What's the text say? Read with me all together. More than anything you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it. Now, boys and girls, if you like some better music, you ask your mommy or your daddy to loan me their flash drive, their memory stick, and I'll put some classical music on that. And you can listen to some good music that is good for your brain. We have today looked at the four blows to the brain. Number one, Number two, pornography. Three, video games. And four, rock music. We recommend replace television with family fun time. Now, boys and girls, tell me, what are you going to do next week with mom? You're going to make cookies, right? Not for yourself. Next week, you're going to get together with mommy and you're going to make some Christmas cookies. And what are you going to do with those Christmas cookies? Going to go visit the neighbor and take them some Christmas cookies. And you ask mom and dad with those cookies to supply you with a great hope book. And you get to wrap it up. And you take that to every one of your neighbors, boys and girls, between now and Christmas. You'll make some new friends. And there might even be people here, new people in the church, as a result of your outreach. So do that. That's your assignment for next week. Family fun time. It is time, parents, we fight back. Less television. Nobody said amen. Replace television with family fun time. No pornography. Replace pornography with prayer. No more video games. Instead of video games, boys, scripture typer. Ask your parents to download on that phone you've been playing games on, scripture typer, and start memorizing the Bible. And no more rock and roll. Replace rock music with classical music. It's better for the brain. Now I want to ask you, boys and girls, are you ready to make a commitment today? Less television, no pornography, no more video games, no more rock and roll. How many willing to make a commitment for that? May I see your hands? Let me see. Are the parents joining? I see. Now, boys and girls, if that's your commitment, I want you to stand up. Stand up to show Jesus that's your commitment. Come on, don't be afraid. You're making a commitment. Less television, no pornography, no more video games. And we're going to replace rock and roll with classical music. Parents, I appeal to you, help your children to do what they have just committed to today. Our text, read with us all together. More than anything you guard, protect your mind. for life flows from it. Thank you, boys and girls. You may be seated. And God help us to that end. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.